chapter 11. We're still in verse 17.
11:17.
But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. Now he's talking about the Pharisees accusing him of casting out demons by Beelzebub. And so this is the order that, again, this section that we're reading now, it's also in Matthew 12, 25. That's the place we normally look at it. But if this hadn't happened, if Jesus hadn't defeated the strong man, then we couldn't be here. And so this is kind of important.
I don't get the transition here from they're looking for a sign, casting out devils by Beelzebub, and then they do their thoughts, and then every kingdom divided against itself.
Here's what it is. Some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of devils. So now he's answering that. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Jesus can't cast out Jesus. And Beelzebub can't cast out Beelzebub.
So we can't be God and the devil.
I don't understand that. What that meant.
I'm trying to get a grip on.
They're accusing him of casting out this demon, or the guy that was dumb, couldn't speak, by the power of Satan. And that's a big deal.
Yeah.
So that now he answers them, and the answer that he gives is the only way that we could be here. So let's just keep that in mind. Now it says, "He knowing their thoughts, a house divided against itself is brought to desolation." Now here's this word sort of gives us a clue to what his minions are now doing. His minions are only men's minds now. Now there's demon possession, and that's a whole other world. But right now we're just talking about this, okay? But brought to desolation is a ramao. I can't ever pronounce it. It's to lay waste, to strip, to ruin. But it comes, interestingly, from the word eramos, which means to make lonely. The one common denominator that I've seen over the years I'm tempted to say it's the worst thing that can happen, but it's the evil one's job is to keep you alone, because his purpose is to bring you to desolation. Now, loneliness is it's heartbreaking. It leads to no hope, no nothing. Now that loneliness is again this thing's job to keep you alone.
It's self-inflicted, right?
No, it's the evil one. Yeah, I mean, in a way, it's self-inflicted, but it's the guy that's masquerading as you's job.
Puffed out or puffed in.
All right. and the word for house there is oikos, which is both house and temple. So it's talking not just about the temple of God in Jerusalem, but it's talking about you as the temple of God. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And a house divided against itself falleth or is thrust down. Now, and then verse 18. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. Now, does everybody understand this so far? Okay. Right. That's God's trick. The whole, I mean, we see it every day, I see it every day anyway. I see people trying for self-redemption. And that just makes the division worse.
Right.
There's a, you try for self-realization. And that makes the division worse. Because it opposes this quest for love.
Well,
it's basically it.
What is worse? What is worse? Somebody's trying to create their own self-redemption, or one who doesn't even care.
Well,
because you have both extremes, and then the ideal path is abandonment. But you have people that try, and then people that just don't give a damn. It never happens.
Well, I mean, you're talking to me as a pagan. I didn't give a damn.
No, I wasn't really talking to you.
But you are. I mean, I didn't care. I didn't care the fruit of what I did. I mean, I had a plan. And I had all kinds of options if that plan didn't work. But fundamentally, I didn't care whether I was self-redeeming or not, or I didn't care what I was doing. I mean, it never, but that kind of thing would never have entered my mind.
But you have both extremes on this path.
Well, the point of it is both, it doesn't matter. Both of them are, you end up
relying.
It doesn't matter. I mean, it's if it goes to the ultimate of not giving a damn, then he's by definition reprobate, incapable of repentance.
You were in that state, not divided against yourself, you were just all self.
Right.
Trying to make self the best it can be and the most it can achieve.
Right.
But when God enters in, the division.
Well, then that's what I keep telling you over and over, that if I do that I don't want to do, then I'm confessing that the law is good. And even if I didn't know the law, well, that never happened until the conversion experience. And very shortly afterward, when I did what I didn't want to do, then I saw, my God, I'm confessing that the law is good. And that was a huge, huge deal. If you do what you don't want to do, then you gotta find. Then it's no longer either. You know, we went on and on and on, but it's long. It cemented that I was the Antichrist. I was in the instead of Christ in this, the temple of God.
You were your own God.
Well, every person is a vessel for deity, one or the other. Either you're a vessel for the evil one or you're a vessel for God. There's no in between. There's no black, I mean, it's black and white. So you never, it's self-realization is just another word for being your vessel for the evil one.
Yeah.
Every man is a vessel of deity. The deity is the one that's been masquerading as you, the one that you've invented, or it's Jesus Christ. There's no in between. What? You don't buy that? You think there's a neutral territory?
No, don't start putting words in my mouth.
All right, well, tell me what you think then.
I'm trying to figure out what I think. You said something that caused that what, and that's not what you just explained. You'll say
well, it is. It's, I said every man's a vessel for a deity. You're either a vessel for the evil one.
Self-realization. You said self-realization is the same thing as...
Self-realization is the evidence of the vessel for the evil one. You've never existed.
That's what I hear.
And that realization is what drives you to repentance.
I think for our purposes, probably spiritual self-realization is the most hideous for us.
Well, it doesn't matter. Both of them are a vessel of deity.
But the reason I say that is when you're doing it for spiritual reasons, you have such righteousness about you that so it covers you.
Well, again, that is what self-realization is. That's what self-redemption is. That's the engine of the world. That's why the leavens are the fuel for that engine. The leaven of hypocrisy, the leaven of Herod, and the leaven of the Pharisees. I mean, the leaven of the Sadducees. Those three leavens are the fuel for the engine of self-realization, of the evil one.
Because the God part of the God part of you, or the part of yourself that wants to be accepted by God, will do all kinds of stuff. Even accepting Christ, if that will work.
Right.
Accept him on that level. And then expecting Jesus to help you realize self. And he will redeem you as yourself, not redeem you into himself.
Right. I mean, it's just, if there is not a death of you at your conversion, or shortly thereafter, then you're still, no matter if you're in Jesus' name or Bruce's name, it's an instrument of self-realization. God has a wonderful plan for your life.
In the name of Jesus?
In the name of Jesus, yeah, to die. That's a wonderful plan for your life.
Yeah, that's the fork in the road that televangelists are.
But the point of it is, it doesn't matter what they, how many times they talk about Jesus or God or even Buddha or Allah, it's self-realization. And it's either that's why there's only two things going on. It's only the bride and whore. There's no in between. There's no neutral ground, and that drives you nuts. Drove me nuts. I wanted neutral ground.
Yeah. I want this spiritual state. It's like the guy who wanted to sell the...
Well, it's like, I mean, the guy that you know, I mean, some of you know, was here and listened and came to me, and then we went back to where he was from. He was still listening to the tapes that Harry sent him, and he said, I can't listen to this. I've got to have $1 million in my hand holding it, then I'll listen. No, he had it. But then his brother stole most of it when he got sick. But it's the point, and now he's back in the fold. But the point of it is, there's a universe of people who are still worshiping the God of this world and think they're worshiping Jesus Christ. As long as you're using a Hanukkah lamp for anything, even to light another lamp, you're using it to get warm or to read from or to win football games. It doesn't matter.
Oh, come on. Football again.
I mean, this is the dividing, this is, boom. There's a bright, shining light between those two. There's a gulf that's impenetrable between self-realization and God. And we only have people here who are still working for self-realization. Anyhow.
You know, the self person doesn't have much choice. Without death, that's what you do. When you don't pick up the cross, there's another path. You self-realize, and you'll use this entire doctrine if you need to make the appearance of it.
Oh, yeah. But this thing about...
That's the kingdom divided.
But this thing about having no neutral ground, I can't tell you how much I hated that. I mean, it ruined everything. I could still go be a governor for Jesus or, you know, whatever, as long as there was some neutral ground. And if you think there's neutral ground, you're a fool.
Also some kind of a realization, I don't know how to put words around it, that are kind of necessary. Those are the things that happen to you. What's realization? An acceptance of reality, maybe? When you say to yourself, I mean, there's, what do you call it when you say to yourself, I don't want to do that anymore, I'm done?
Then you're on the path to repentance.
Isn't that a realization of sorts, though? That's got nothing to do with neutral ground. I'm totally
confused. No, the point of it is at that point you're able to say and see the cross. And you're able to see your death on the cross.
That's more like revelation than self-realization.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you say, I don't want to do this anymore, and you really, I mean, you really mean it.
Well, you always mean it. Doing it is another thing.
Yeah. I mean, every time I got drunk or got too, you know, I told you about it, I took those mushrooms and I was in the ceiling, right? You know. God, get me out of this, and I'll believe in you. I don't want to do this anymore. And it goes endless, huh?
It's the mantra of Wall Street. Get me out of this even, and I'll never do it again.
Right, the same thing. But there has to come, it doesn't matter. You can't do that in Jesus' name. Everybody thinks you can. That's why I keep saying death is the predicate of true believer. Blessed, here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. And I heard a voice from saying, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea. That they're what? Rest. I mean, rest is really rest. I mean, it's rest. It's Sabbath.
And it's only in Him. That is, He is.
Well, He is. But the point is, you can't be there. Remember, we went through them one time, the 46 death penalties for breaking the Sabbath? Lighting a fire? So if He is the Sabbath, then it's either, it's all or nothing. There's no in between. But you're going to screw up, and that's why the blood of Christ cleanses us from all trespass. That's why self-justification, that just puts the evil one, the abomination, on the, trying to put the abomination on the temple. they may rest, that they may, and it literally it says that they may Sabbath from their labors, and their works do follow them. He is the Sabbath. I get a kick out of the Muslims. There's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The different groups do the Sabbath. I can't remember which groups do what, but it's not a day, it's a person. You may rest from your limbs. If your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. If your eye is evil, and that evil is the same word, poneros, for labor. Same word we get pornography from. Now, any labor, no matter how you think it justifies yourself, is sin. Because by definition, in order to labor, you have to resurrect the evil one. But if you justify yourself in the laboring, then you have no hope. But if you say, Father, I don't see what else I can do. I understand that I'm in him and he is my Sabbath. Then it's his business in bringing you. But if you think, I mean, we talk a lot about rebellion, but do you understand if you labor, that's rebellion? This is the end. This is the kingdom of God is here. This is you've been perfected by one offering. This is yet the first source of all things. You can't have a need. You lose the capacity to think that the situation you're in should be different than it is. God has wrought all our works in us. I mean, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. What is, and the only sin is not believing on him who he has sent. You can't believe in him and ignore the fruit of him. I don't know, in terms of how we conduct our lives on a daily basis, I don't know anything more important than the apprehension of this. Because the natural thing that your mind does, the instant that this is talked about, is justification.
The instant this is talked about?
The instant that means that you hear, that let's go there. This is a coda for that. Go to Revelation 14.
The instant that work is questioned as sin, then justification comes in.
Well, I got to do this. I will learn it.
And what is that in terms of Passover? It's the leaven of Herod. See a lack. But what do you then? What instead? You justified internally and said, I've got to do this in order to live. I've got to do this to meet my responsibilities. I've got to do this for a thousand reasons. But all I'm asking you to do is to see the finished work of him. And it's total. It's completely finished. It's over. And that is already manifested in you. It's Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, all I'm asking you to do, if whenever your mind tries to justify it, give me. I don't know what else to do.
Yeah, that's the end of the path. That is redemption.
No, it isn't quite yet. But total redemption is when you live it.
He lives it.
Well, I know. He's got to live it. You got the mind of Christ, and you being transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the whole purpose of time and space. So there's no difference.
Right. But you don't got it, because then you got it. You can't use that.
That's the end result of repentance.
It will happen.
If you repent.
Right. And
if is the biggest word. That's why bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. It's got to happen. I'm going to use the word "got" 50,000 times.
Until you're in Christ.
Until you're totally in Him and you're gone.
You can't be partway in Him. Right? Half there and half gone.
You can in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. That's the path of most believers.
They don't
have to see good. They think it's necessary. Revelation 14. Now and we've never really studied this, but I mean I've not taught on it, but Revelation 13 reveals the same thing Daniel saw, the same thing that he saw earlier in the whore, and then he saw it in himself. And so now, the first part of Revelation 14 is seeing the evil of Babylon. That's what the first 13 verses are, the evil of Babylon. Then, well, let's just read. Let's start in verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. And worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made all nations, all people, drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast in his image and receive the mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever believeth receiveth the mark of his name. Now, in contrast to that, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Now, these seven angels of Revelation, and everything in the book of Revelation, is the revelation of Jesus Christ in all of time and space. Now, Abel saw. That's all you need to do is see. But the angel has to stand within you and say, Babylon has fallen. I will no longer live by cause and effect. Now, if you don't believe Babylon is cause and effect, then that's another story. But I challenge you to find a greater enemy of mercy and grace than cause and effect. Because that is which deceiveth the whole world. Consider these things.
This is like with repentance, it's maybe a cause, but if there's no effect, I mean, you can't repent expecting something.
No. Repentance is total abandonment of self. Total abandonment of self-interest.
Right.
That's why the takeaway from my conversion was I could never again do anything to help myself. I screwed up a million times. But his blood cleanses us from all trespass.
Yeah.
Take it, big guy.